Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Positioning for Wealth Transfer by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Again, thank you for your giving. Well, let's go back to the Word of God. And I started a series last week talking about the wealth transfer. And I want to continue this week to go further into that. And I'm specifically want to talk today about positioning yourself for wealth transfer. Positioning yourself for wealth transfer. I was reading an article a couple hours ago in today's Wall Street Journal that said the average wealth for white families in America is $171,000. The wealth net worth of the average white family in America. And that means after you take all of your liabilities, all of your assets, and then all your liabilities, subtract your liabilities from it, what you have left over, that's considered net worth. And then it said the average net worth for the average African American family in the United States, it's the Wall Street Journal, is $17,000. That's a big disparity. And then it said that the average white family has 30 days of liquid savings. In other words, if they didn't have a job, they can make it probably for about 30 days with the income that they have and stay afloat. So the average black family has 7 days of savings. Yes, that is showing the wealth disparity between black and white in this country, but that's also used to help you understand that this wealth transfer we're talking about can't be natural. Because as I said, they're often talking about the great wealth transfer that's going to happen over the next few years between baby boomers and millennials and Generation X's and all that, that as baby boomers, many of which who are in the room with me here today, that as they get older, as they retire, as they then, some of them leave inheritances to their children, that they're going to pass that wealth on. Well, if the average African-American family got $17,000, you can't sit around waiting for that. So this wealth transfer, especially for African Americans and people who don't come from families of wealth, obviously is not going to be a natural wealth transfer. So we're showing you the spiritual wealth transfer that God talks about in his word, according to James, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. And it says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is canked, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Then it says, you have heaped treasure together for the last days, and behold, the hire. That's talking about the money of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which you have kept back by fraud. That money, he said, is crying, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in treasure on earth and been wanting. That word wanting means wasteful. You've nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter, and you condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Those verses from the New Living Translation says, listen, starting verse 4, hear the cries of field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You fattened yourself for the day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Then it goes on, verses 7 through 9, it says, like Job, just wait for God to turn things around. And I believe that we're living in a season right now that God is transferring wealth that many of our parents and foreparents who were righteous people, that was kept back by fraud, that was kept back unjustly and oppressively, God is finding a way to get that wealth into the hands of his righteous sons and daughters. Those verses from the Message translation, it says, all the workers you've exploited and cheated cry out for judgment. The groans of the workers you use and abuse are raw in the ears of the master avenger. You looted the earth. You lived it up. But all you have to show for it is fatter than usual corpse. In fact, what you've done is condemn and murder perfectly good persons who stood there who stand there and take it. Meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently waiting for the rain to do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. The master could arrive at any time. So this scripture, James 5, which is again supported by a theme throughout the scriptures, is talking about a time coming, not just in one single incident, as I had originally thought when I first heard this, but a process or over time, God having a way of taking wealth from wicked rich people and putting it in the hands of righteous people who should have had it and who's going to do good with it. And so that's really important, because this is not a message about rich against the poor. The Bible talks about the wicked rich and those who have oppressed people, and as a result of that, gotten rich off of it. But God says now there's going to come a time and a season he's going to resist those people, and guilt, which it says your money becomes like fire burning in you. It eats your flesh. Guilt causes them to get rid of it, or God uses some other means to get it into the hands of people who it should have gotten to perhaps even generations ago. And I gave you other scriptures. Let me quickly go over that before I go further. Psalms 12 and 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, God said, now I will arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So God said, there's going to come a time that he will avenge, not through looting and rioting and burning down things. God said he will avenge the oppression of the poor. Psalm 37, 16 and 17 says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of the many wicked. So there he's talking about the wicked rich again. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord is going to uphold the righteous. And then Psalm 52, 5 through 7 says, God shall likewise destroy thee, talking about wicked rich, forever. He shall take thee away, pluck thee out of the dwelling place, root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. For lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Again, talking about ungodly, wicked, rich people. Then Psalm 103 and 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And then a couple that we're familiar with, Proverbs 13 and 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's talking about a natural wealth transfer. A good man can leave, but if the good man doesn't have an inheritance, what's he going to leave to him? So God says, just like the good man leaves an inheritance to his children, to his children's children, naturally, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. God said, I will get the wealth of the sinner into the hands of just people. New Living Version of that verse, Proverbs 13:22 says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. And then the one that makes it hard for me to stay in my seat, but I'm going to do my best. The Amplified Version of Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. And from that verse and that version, Proverbs 13:22 Amplified, I have us many times confessing that money is looking for me right now. Come on, say it with me. Say, money is looking for me right now. Because God said that he will take the wealth of ungodly people and cause it to eventually find its way through the hands of righteous people for whom it was laid up. And then Solomon put it this way. Solomon said, now I've lived long enough. I've seen this thing happen. It doesn't really make any sense. I don't know why this happened. He don't fully understand. He said, but this is just how it works. He calls it vanity. Okay. Ecclesiastes 2:26. The King James says, God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives travail to gather and to heap up. Why? That he may give to him that's good before God. This is vanity and vexation of spirit. New Living Translation of that verse says, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away from that sinner and gives it to those who please him. Come on, this is not the time to displease God. Keep on pleasing him. God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaninglessness, like chasing the wind. And then the Message translation of that verse says, God may give wisdom and knowledge and joy to his favorites, but sinners are assigned a life of hard labor and end up turning their wages over to God's favorites. I'm so glad I'm one of God's favorites. Come on, you need to know you're the apple of God's eye. You need to know that he knows the hairs that are on your head. He sees your giving. He sees your sowing. He sees when you've been taken advantage of. He saw the promotion that you should have had, but you didn't get it because of racism or oppression or feminism or sexism or something. God sees all the ungodliness that you've gone through and that has victimized your life. God said, don't worry about it. I got you. I got you. Amen. So he says he'll end up turning those wages over to God's favorite. So as we talk about now, hopefully I've shown you from scripture this concept that there will be and there is and there has been. And I believe there's an acceleration of it right now. Or what I saw in a New York Times, not New York Times, Wall Street Journal article last week that said, or 2 weeks ago, that there's a surge going on, particularly among African Americans, of people calling upon them to do business and exchange money with them like they have never seen before during this time, that there's a surge. And what I'm calling this, and from the spiritual perspective, is a wealth transfer going on. There's a wealth transfer going on. So I believe that this is happening. So I want to give you today, I want to give you, as I go further here, some keys to taking advantage of the wealth transfer opportunities, or how to, or positioning yourself for wealth transfer. Positioning yourself for wealth transfer. Okay. Now, what do I mean by positioning yourself? Well, so during this time, our federal government, now y'all need to understand when I first saw all these stimulus checks going out, I said, this is a wealth transfer. A lot of people didn't realize that. This is a wealth transfer. Now you need to understand, by a Republican administration who don't usually try to give money to nobody. Now, that's just the truth. I mean, not to average people. Now, you go to corporations and businesses, and if you through capital gain tax, reduce taxes and all that for the rich, come on, that I'm not being partisan here. That's just the truth, okay? And so, but now, all of a sudden, this thing happened of getting money to corporate, not just merely corporations, but the common, ordinary, everyday people, even small businesses, and all you had to do was fill out the application, have a social security number, have filed your taxes, have a tax ID number if you're a business, pay payroll taxes, all you had to fill it out, and checks showed up in your account. Okay? But there were many people, and I read this in an article too, in the Wall Street Journal, many black businesses who didn't get the money. Now, listen to me right now, not because they were black. They didn't get the money because they weren't doing business right. They were doing business without a tax ID number. Doing business without filing payroll taxes. So, watch it. So the money could have come to them, but they weren't positioned for it. Come on now. See, the Bible uses phrase like this, get your house in order. In other words, you need to be in a position that when God wants to bring things to you, it can find you. We read that scripture, the wealth of the sinner eventually finds his way to the righteous. Well, the righteous people got to be in the righteous places for the, I don't think the money going to find you up in the strip club. No, the money ain't going to find you down at the club. No, you got to be in the right position and the right place when God gets ready to transfer this wealth to you. Now, watch this. Sister Queen, I said to her, now, because I know we got people, even during the pandemic, we got people traveling. We got people doing all kinds of stuff. Sister Queen Johnson, who I blessed with the car on Sunday, I text her on Saturday night, and I said, can you be at service tomorrow morning? Now, I had already made the arrangement for the people I'm buying the car from to bring the car the next morning. She could have said, well, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I was planning on going out of town tomorrow. I'm going to the beach. Well, if she did that, what I was planning on doing for her Sunday, I couldn't have done Sunday. Are y'all listening to me? And so sometimes Sometimes we're delaying stuff God wants to get to us because we're not in the right position. We're not in the right place. We're not handling our business properly. When they're handling our business. And so when I read that article and I thought it was so sad for people who should have qualified for these loans that originally they wanted to do at 0%. The federal government was going to make these loans at 0% interest. And the banks said, hold up, there's a lot of work we got to do here. Okay. To process all these loans. Okay. There were some other things I tried to get done at the bank. And the bank said to me, I'm sorry, Pastor Bailey, we can't do anything right now. We're just busy processing PCP loans, okay, these federal loans. And so that was understood. So the federal government said, all right, now we got to charge. So we're going to charge 1% so the bank can get fees from all their employees processing all these loans. But there were people who should have gotten them who were doing legitimate business, but they didn't have their paperwork in order. So when I'm talking about positioning yourself for wealth transfer, I'm talking about being in the right position that when God gets ready to transfer the wealth from the sinner, you're in the right position to get it. Okay? Now when you play baseball, okay, the catcher is in a certain position to catch the ball. Okay? If you watch basketball, and I see we got some basketball fans even here in the audience today, you know, they got something called an alley-oop. Okay, in an alley-oop, okay, one player throws the ball almost like a football, or passes the ball, and rather than look like he's passing on the floor, he passes it in the air, and another player close to the basket catches it in the air and dunks the ball. That's called an alley-oop. Well, you don't see alley-oops all the time because you got to be in a position for the alley-oop. Okay, the only way out, they got to be in the air. They got to be, so while one is going up, the other one passing the ball, got to be in a position to get this dunk. I believe there's a dunk of wealth God wants to get to you, but you got to be in the right position. You got to be in the right position. So how do we position ourselves? Number one, if you're going to position yourself for wealth transfer, you need to expect and confess open doors in your life at this time. Say this. Say, God's opening new doors for me right now. Say, God is opening new doors for me right now. Say, God, give me new opportunities to bring wealth into my hands and into my family. So you have to expect and confess open doors for wealth transfer. Colossians 4 and 3, Paul writes to the church of Colossae, and he says, with all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance and speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond. He said, I want you to pray that God gives us new opportunities, in this case, to spread the gospel. Come on, I believe we can pray that God gives us opportunities for wealth to come into our hands, especially if your goal is to help, to bless, and to expand the kingdom of God. Amen. Because your motive's got to be right as well. Can I tell you, I look over my life, I even look over some of the recent purchases that I've done personally. Stuff I do not need. Do not need. And watch, don't turn and go look at somebody else's website right now. Stay with me. Because, see, if you have a poverty mindset, you'll always say stuff like, well, people buy stuff they don't need. People, you don't need that. You don't need that. No, well, I got delivered when I found a scripture in First Timothy 6 and 17, I believe. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but trust in the living God. And then here's the thing that freed me from that need stuff. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What? Charge them that are rich in this world, don't be high-minded. He said, no problem being rich. Just don't start smelling yourself. I'm sorry, y'all don't know what that means. My mom used to say me that. Listen, boy, don't start smelling yourself. That means you think you're all that. That they be not high-minded, and nor do they trust in riches, but keep trusting in living God. Trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. So God has no problem with you having things just to enjoy. What? Not just to need, just to enjoy. Now, let me also tell you this. If all you have is what you need, you can't think about blessing anybody else. You can't think about giving to anybody else because everything you got, you need it. You can't share with anybody else because you need it. That's why even Jesus said, let him that has two coats give to him that hath none. Let him that has what? Two. Jesus said, I don't want you to be cold because you made them warm. He said, I want you to be warm and they can be warm too. But the only way that you can be both, you can be warm, you got to have an extra coat. Are you with me? And so you can expect, especially if you want to expand the kingdom of God, because and you don't just want to live, but you also want to give. God will give you seed just to sow. I read the scripture. He gives seed to the sower. Believe God to open up new doors for wealth opportunities for you. Revelation 3 and 8. Jesus speaks here to the church and he says, I know thy works. And behold, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. God will open doors on your behalf that only he will open. And he said that no man can shut it. Now, let me add something else that I've discovered in recent years. God will open up certain doors. He'll open it up just for you. He'll put you in the room. Then he'll shut the door and won't let anybody else in. In other words, God will arrange opportunity just for you. Some of you heard me tell the story of my son, Pastor Chandler. He was getting ready to go to college, and truthfully, he hadn't been accepted in any other college, and he had just believed he was going to be accepted to this one college, which happened to be a Southern Baptist Christian college here in South Carolina. And he said, believe the Lord showed him he was going to that college. I said, boy, you ain't going to that college. I ain't paying no money for you to go to that college. If you go to college, you're going to go to a public school, a public state school. You're not going to that college. Well, he didn't get accepted to the public state school, but he got accepted to this private school. And the man and the admission counselor called us the day before they were starting school that semester in August and said, bring him up the next day. Well, we wasn't planning on him going to college. Said, bring him the next day. A month later, after this one admission counselor, not the admission department. They probably advertised they had an admission department. They had an admission person. This one admissions person admitted him into the college, and then within a couple weeks, he retired. God will use somebody to open up a door, put you in a room, and then shut the door. I've seen countless testimonies of God using one person to do that. When we started our ministry, we needed a place to start having church. And I had started a little Bible study in my home, but I only invited people that I knew to the Bible study. Well, I knew about five people. So that the church can't grow if only you know five people. And I didn't want to invite strangers into my house. Forgive me, you better than me. Okay, whosoever will, let them come. I believe that should be the case to the church, not my house. Anyway, so I just wasn't, you know, the Bible said go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. Well, even when you look at that wasn't a house, that was a wedding reception. When you read it in context, study the scriptures.
There is a wealth transfer that God wants to get to believers. In this informative series, Bishop Herbert Bailey gives us the keys to taking advantage of wealth transfer opportunities. To order, please call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info. Ask for the wealth transfer. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.